going to go. My voice is fairly strong until he gets to stand out. It's a blessing to be here, as I said last night, for the weekend. I appreciate the opportunity to renew fellowship with the saints here. This is like home to me when I come back to Des Moines, Dean Avenue, and church here in Martinsdale. You've been supporting me for many, many years, and I appreciate that. And I always appreciate an opportunity to renew fellowship with you and to give you a report. The elders thought this would be a good opportunity this morning. If you want to open your Bible, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As I always like to do, I like to have to read some of the scriptures before any lesson, and I hope this lesson is not just going to be a report. I hope it will be something you can learn from, you can be edified, you can be strengthened with. I'd like to start by reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is a good example for us. He said he was called to be both an apostle and a preacher. So when I look at the Apostle Paul's work, I look at work that I can emulate as an evangelist. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning verses 1 through 12. But you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even if after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have been made demands as apostles of Christ. For we were gentle among you, just as a nourishing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, and we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I am very much blessed to be privileged to be supported to do the work of the Lord, to work in His vineyard since 1984, basically. We've been in Arizona for 6 years. Before that, we were in Denver for about 12. And the Lord has blessed our work greatly, as you're going to see. I'm thankful to be able to do a kind of work that I think, hopefully, I'm made for. I believe I am called for. They're my strengths, what strengths they are. I appreciate that opportunity. But we've been in Flagstaff now for 6 years. Now, when we talk about Flagstaff, it's in northern Arizona. Trust some of you have been through that area, I think. If you've been through the wintertime, we are prone to have winters. We have as much as 140 inches of snow in the wintertime. And many people tell me when they've come through Flagstaff, they remember the winters that they had. So basically, we're in northern Arizona. We've been there for 6 years. We work with about 5 different churches of Christ, 4 in Arizona and 1 in New Mexico. So this first one deals with the local congregation. We're a small group. There's a picture of much of the church there in our home. Now, one of the problems with Flagstaff is we do not have a good industrial base. We have the university there, and there's a lot of tourism, but we don't have a lot of reasons for people to come there and live. They go there and they go to school and they leave. And so we've had a problem having around 8 families move in and out since over the last 6 years that I've been there. And that's caused a problem. We don't have a lot of brothers in the church who participate in the teaching. We've been having to deal with some problems there with one of the families. And I'll show you a picture of the Cisco family here in just a minute. They're a blended family, and they have many of the same problems that you can imagine. Paul was at one time a good participator with the body there as a brother, but we've asked Paul to step down from his participation because of the problems they've been dealing with. And so that basically leaves Rob Shells and myself. And I'm only there one Sunday a month. I'm there every Wednesday night, but I'm only there one Sunday a month working with my other churches. So it's caused a lot of problems. And some of the church seems to be getting frustrated with that. We're losing another family this month, and I really don't know what the future of the church at Flagstaff is going to be. Now, there's other churches that we're working with. Of the other churches, the church at Flagstaff is the only one that has not benefited a lot since we've been there. We've benefited some. But it's hard for on a small church when you have a lot of people moving in and out. And it's even harder on a small church when you have a family that has some of the problems they're having to deal with there in Flagstaff. And it sort of sends stress fractures throughout the rest of the church. So it has been difficult. We have around 15 to 20 on Sunday assemblies, but we have a lot of visitors. We have a lot of people coming to the university. Their kids attend there at NAU, as does my daughter Leah. We also have a lot of people coming to the Grand Canyon. So we have to be prepared for anywhere from 15 to 50 on Sunday morning, because we never know about the number of visitors that come. And we've had as much as 50 and 60 brethren meeting with us over a period of time who just come and they visit there. They stay for a couple of weeks. Then they go home. And this gives us a good opportunity to plant seeds regarding the mutual edification of the churches, because most of the people who pass through there are from churches that have ministers. And so they're a little bit surprised when they find out that I'm not the minister there, and nor is Rob, that we encourage all the different brothers to participate. And so hopefully they see a good example of how a church should function and how it can function without hiring a professional edifier to teach the church. But because we have so many visitors, we also have to realize that we have to be prepared for as many as 15 to 50 on a Sunday morning. And for a small church, that can be a pretty good burden sometimes. We've already talked about how Flagstaff is a very transient community. We've had 8 families moving in and out over the last 6 years since I've been there. And this does have a great impact on a small church. We are preparing to lose another family. A daughter and her, a mother and her two daughters are planning to move to Texas over this next week. So again, we still have the same problem of people moving in and out. But we have been blessed, and I think I've got a picture of, no, this is Cisco's. Let's see me. I'm going ahead here in just a minute. Well, never mind. We'll get back to the picture here in just a minute. We have been blessed with a new couple. Their names are Dave and Brenda White. Now, Dave and Brenda used to attend the other Church of Christ there in town, and there is one other there, but they've been having apparently some problems at this other church. They've been teaching things that are false, and we've had about 3 families from there come with us for a short time, and some of them have moved away again. And Church at Williams, as you're going to see, another church I work with, they've had 2 families as well. But this other Church of Christ is having lots of problems. But one of the couples, Dave and Brenda White, Dave, about 6 months ago, was diagnosed with cancer. Now, they both had left the Lord for quite a while. They had attended at the other church for a little bit, and then they just got frustrated, I think, and left the Lord. But because of Dave's cancer, it has encouraged Dave to think about his spirit. And as a result of that, I've started a Bible study with him and his wife, and Dave and Brenda both repented about 3 months ago. Dave has finished his chemotherapy. He had 7 treatments of very aggressive chemotherapy and radiation therapy both. He has throat cancer. They had to take a good portion of his throat and a large portion of his tongue out. And he was to have a test. He's finished with the chemotherapies. He was to have a test this last Monday. And I talked to Brenda on the phone yesterday to see if they knew how far the cancer had progressed. And at that point, they didn't know yet. But Dave has been a blessing to us because he has been excited about his repentance. He realized that God gave him another opportunity. And even if he finds out, he says, the cancer is still there, he's still going to continue with his serving the Lord. He's been a big help to us as a brother. He's been saying prayers for us. He's been leading songs. And for a small church that has a problem with brothers participating, it has really been a big help. And here in just a little bit, I'll show a picture of Dave and Brenda up there. This is the picture of the church meeting in our home. There is Rebecca down here on the bottom with the pink sweater. Of course, some of you may remember Leah, our number 2 daughter. The church meets in our home every Wednesday night. We're in the process of studying about bearing fruit for the Lord. That's the class that I've been in charge with. Another blessing we have at the church at Flagstaff, because of the university, we have a number of kids, of college kids, who come there and start meeting with us. And now, we found a lot of these kids, and this is something you might can understand, for the very first time in their young lives are getting away from the sanctity of their homes. And they're having to decide, well, am I going to follow the Lord because I want to or because my parents want to? And this is a natural thing. Most of them come there, they're young, they're 18, 19 years old, and they've been following the Lord because of their parents' example. But now they have to wake up, they go to bed late Saturday night, and they have to crawl out of bed, as one of them said, every Sunday morning,
And they have to decide, do they really want to do this? Because mom and dad are not there. So we recognize this as a church. So we try to be an encouragement to them. We try to bring them into our homes, provide homemade meals for them. I try to have a Bible study with them every week during the school year, hopefully trying to be an encouragement to them. And this year, we have around 6 or 7 college kids that are attending with us now on a regular basis, including Leah, our daughter. And this is the most we've ever had. And it's just been good. Been a good opportunity to meet these young people. And once again, these young people are working with a church that doesn't have a professional edifier. And so they go home and they talk about how this church is prospering, or should be, and yet they haven't hired a man to teach them. And so once again, it's another opportunity to plant seeds of the mutual edification of the church. Now let's show some of the pictures. This is the Cisco family. They're a blended family. Matthew, their son, I have a session with him every week. Matthew is about 15 and a half years old, but he has never had a father all of his life until Lisa married Paul about 2 years ago. And so he's having rebellious issues, as you can imagine. He's like Tinder, ready for a match. And so I've been trying to sit down with him once a week. We talk about some of the struggles that he deals with. But I also have a Bible study with the whole family once a week, which is really good, giving them a foundation to grow from. Here we have Leah, our daughter Leah, with her boyfriend, Derek Knudsen. Derek is a fine young man. He's not a Christian by the Bible standards, but he does have a manner of faith in the Lord. I've had the chance of studying with him and Leah now for the last 3 or 4 months. We have them over every Wednesday evening, early evening, for a Bible study, and then we have them for dinner, and then the church meets in our home later that Wednesday night. And this next picture is one. How many of you have ever seen the Grand Canyon before in life? What was your very first impression when you first saw it? What did you think? Awesome. Only God could fashion such a thing. So here, I imagine you do have Grand Canyons here in Iowa, don't you? Some places. Well, you'll have to come down and see. It's beautiful. The Lord, to say the Lord does good work is just an understatement. There are no words to convey the glory and might of God other than the Word of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. And the Grand Canyon is just such a glory to God. Now, I realize you go there and you get all the spiel about how it took billions of years to make the Grand Canyon. But I don't believe that. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And he did a great job. Now, he could have formed the canyon from the flood, which is likely. But he still does great work. He's the one that should get glory for that. Now, here's something interesting. You might find amusing. The other Church of Christ. Now, how would you feel, Lowell, if you got a call from a sister in the church? She had arranged for a preacher from some school somewhere to come to your church and be your minister. Could he come this next Sunday and try out?
He'd come to visit.
Isn't that sort of arrogant? This is a young sister from that to the other church that they're having problems at. She actually arranged for a preacher. She heard that we didn't have a minister, and so she called us. She wanted us to let this man become our minister, become our preacher. Of course, I talked with her a little bit about we believed it was up to the brothers to do the teaching. But it sort of shows some of the conflict they are having at the other church. And they are having a lot of doctrinal issues. They're losing members. They've lost some to us and lost some to Williams. As a matter of fact, I might mention, you might find this interesting. Every year we have a fair booth there in Flagstaff. And I met one of the members from the other Church of Christ. I've met a number of them before, and I really like this guy. This guy was, you know, he said, you know, we're having a lot of people leaving the other church, and I'm concerned about them. I would like to give them your phone number so that they will at least go to a Church of Christ. So I thought that was pretty admirable of him. That was good. That was a man of honor. I appreciated that. Had a good visit with him. I asked him why the things they were doing at this other church wasn't a problem to him. He just really didn't have an answer for it. But I appreciated the fact that he was concerned about some of the others who were leaving. And he may not know that we already have some like Dave and Brenda White and another family who came for about a year and then they moved to North Dakota. I don't know if he's concerned about them, about the ones that have already left or not, but I haven't heard any more from him. But that was only a few weeks ago when I talked to him. So that we may have an opportunity from them. There at Flagstaff, we try to plant seeds. One thing we do, we have, like I say, a fair booth every year. And Lewis Garby has to come out and help me. I can't do this by myself, although I have some members of the church that come out and sit with me. This is the Coconino County Fair. What we do, we hand out written material. We hand out tracts so that people We try to get people thinking about their spiritual lives. And you know, the vast majority of people who walk by our booth, they just look at our booth and they just walk on by. But every now and then we'll have somebody come by there and they'll talk to us about something. Sometimes they'll say, you know, they're really glad that we have some kind of spiritual message there at the fair. Sometimes we'll talk with them more, and I try to set up opportunities to have Bible studies. But so far we haven't had any Bible studies come from this work. And we've done the fair booth now for 4 years in a row. But I've come to the conclusion, I think the best we can hope for, perhaps, is at least just planting seed in people's lives. You never know. We give away copies of the scriptures, and we've given away probably 12 or 13 total since we've been doing the fair. And so we like this. This is an opportunity to give copies of the Word of God out, and you never know what good you can do, but it's a great way to preach the name of Jesus. And that's what we like about that. There's a picture that I don't think you can see very well of Rebecca and Lydia, and that is a recent picture. That's only a couple of weeks old. Lydia is 14 years old. She just started high school a few weeks ago. She's our baby. She's a child of our old age, as we call her. And here's a picture of the San Francisco peaks that are just north of our house there in northern Arizona. I never realized how many mountains Arizona had. You always think of desert, flat, hot, dry desert. Well, even though it's really dry in Flagstaff, it's not hot. Most of the time it gets up in the 80s in the summertime, but it always cools off at night. It's not anywhere near like Phoenix. You know how Phoenix, it gets up to 120 degrees in the summertime. It's not that. And we average around 120 to 140 inches of snow every winter. So I like the snow that we get. Now, there are other churches we work with. There's a church at First Church of University, Union Hills in Phoenix. This is an established church. They have elders, they have deacons there. And before I get into that church, I wanted to mention, I do a lot of driving there in Arizona. And there's only one route going from Flagstaff to Phoenix, really, unless you want to take 3 or 4 extra hours and go through the mountains. And because there's only one route, if that highway gets stopped up, you sit there for about 3 and 4 hours waiting for it to be unstopped. And there have been about 5 or 6 times over the last 6 years where we have stopped on the interstate and couldn't go anywhere. Sometimes it's because of snow. Sometimes it's because of fire. Arizona has a lot of forest fires because of the dryness. Sometimes it's an accident. But it really is very tiresome when you're sitting there for about 3 hours, sitting there on the interstate. You see nothing but cars ahead or behind of you, and you can't go anywhere. So that's one of the negative effects of working in Arizona. And I want to mention also, because I do a lot of driving, I really appreciate the opportunity to listen to MP3 files, to lessons and singing as I'm driving throughout Arizona. It really does help. Now, the church at Union Hills, as I said, is an established church. They have elders and deacons there. They've had a number of brethren from the Midwest who have visited there over the years. The church there was established by Brother Lloyd Riggins, which would be Richard Riggins' uncle, many, many years ago. And they're a very solid group. I've had the privilege of, since I've been there, of appointing a deacon, and there's another picture that's not very well. The man with the crutches, Brother John Vincent and Amos Green, the second one from your right in the white striped shirt, they're the elders there. The deacons are John Vincent, Doug Knowlton, and Charlie Freesh. I had an opportunity to appoint Charlie as a deacon there in the church last year. So the church there is prospering. One thing that hurts the church there is they have a lot of serious illness. They have a number of brethren who are dealing with various types of cancers and other illnesses. Some of you may know Frida Clem. Frida Clem is Carl Ketcherside's sister. Frida is still living there, but Frida now has been diagnosed. She has kidney cancer as well, and they don't think there's a lot they can do about her. So you might want to pray for the church there. But the church is doing well. They have a lot of young people. They have a number of children, which is great to see, because children are the life of a church. It's so interesting when you hear, especially older brethren, and I include myself in that, and I'm almost 50, we complain about children and their noises. Well, you know what? Aren't we glad we have children? We should be happy. Now I realize we need to keep our children, to a certain extent, controlled. But you know what? I've been in a number of churches that have no children. The church at Williams, as you're going to see, has no children at all. And I'd rather put up with the noise. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There's a picture of John and Fetty Vincent. We meet in their home one Saturday night a month. You know, since I started in this work in 1983, I have always dreaded being asked to teach the book of Revelation. Now, you can laugh all you want to. I grew up in the Baptist church. You know all the nonsense that they have learned. And I've never had the chance to sit at the feet of Richard Riggins or Rick Sparks or others, and so this is a challenge. But by the grace of God, I've got a number of helps, and we are studying the Revelation letter. Has anyone here ever taught the Revelation letter? And you laughed at me. It's a challenge, but by the grace of God, we're working through it. We begin the hard part this next month, Revelation chapter 6. But we meet at John and Kathy Vincent's home one Saturday a month. Of course, it doesn't help any. We're only doing it once a month. But nevertheless, so far we're having a pretty good study. Haven't had any fights or anything, which is a good thing. This is Doug and Chris Knowlton. Does anyone know Lonnie McClintock from Newcastle, Indiana? You know Lonnie? Chris is Lonnie's sister. About 2.5 years ago, Chris was diagnosed with breast cancer. Fourth stage. Pretty serious. It really hit her and her family hard. They called into question a lot of things, but they decided they were going to handle this. Now, Chris has chosen the homeopathic method. She doesn't do any chemo or anything at all. She's on a very strict diet, but it's been 2.5 years now. And since that time, I've had a study with her when I go through Phoenix. Generally, I go through Phoenix about 2 and 3 times a month on my way down to another church at Pima that you're going to see. And we've been studying the various Bible verses on how we can learn, we can be at peace with our afflictions, with the illnesses that we have. Well, Chris still has her cancer, but it's under control. She has a great spirit. She chose to be rebaptized about just after she was diagnosed. She just wanted to make sure, but they're still doing well by the grace of God. She could still go to the doctor any day now and find out it's come back really bad. But pray for Chris. And her and Doug are doing well. Their youngest son just got married a couple of weeks ago. By the grace of God, married a nice Christian young lady. And so I really appreciate Doug. Doug is a great mechanic. As a matter of fact, my car is at his house right now. He's doing work on it. Since I'm out here, it's a good time for him to do that. And then we have a picture of Amos and Zelma Green. Amos is one of the two shepherds there at the church. Amos is one of these guys. He's just really bubbly. He's always jumping around. He gives you a hug. How are you doing? John is just the opposite. John is very sober. But I remember when John introduced him and Amos, they introduced themselves to me. He said, "This is Amos Green. He's the good evangelist." You know, like good cop, bad cop kind of thing. So that's sort of how Amos is just your bubbly kind of guy. They're really good brothers. And we're working toward the goal of appointing new elders there within the near future. I hope so. That's one of the reasons we have the Bible study on a monthly basis. Another reason we moved, a specific reason we moved to Arizona was to start the church in Pima. Does anyone here know Dave and Janet Gentry from Kansas City area? Some of you know Dave and Janet are basically part of the foundation there in the church. Here's a picture of the church that meets in their home. Since we started there about 6 years ago, it was 6 years in the fall, we've had about 1, 2, 3, 4 souls who were baptized into Christ, including Cody and Cheyenne, their children, but also Brian Leitner and Frank Horn. They were both baptized a couple of years ago. And the church there seems to be prospering. And this is one of the reasons why we moved to Arizona, was to start this church. Now, I might go back to this map. Pima is about almost 5-hour drive from Flagstaff in northern Arizona down through Phoenix down to Pima. So it's a pretty good chunk. So as I said earlier, we do a lot of driving. But yet it's worth it. The church there meets on Sunday nights instead of Sunday morning. They meet on Sunday night to share the Lord's Supper, to sing praises, to teach and admonish one another. And they do that. It allows me to be other places on Sunday morning and yet be with them on Sunday night when they meet. It's really a good opportunity. The church there is prospering. They have 3 teachers. In this small group here, they have 3 brothers who teach. Dave Gentry has really grown a lot since he's moved down there. Brian Leitner, he's a brother in the back. He's a school teacher. And so for him to just sort of slip naturally into the teaching role of the church is a good thing. And part of my work as an evangelist is to help encourage brothers learn how to teach. Now, he already knows the teaching essentials as far as teaching kids. Basically, I just showed him how I work on lessons and outlines. And he is now shares a heavy load of the teaching in the church. Cody Gentry. Cody is Cody 17 yet? Cody's in his senior year of school. And Cody brought his first lesson. Now, he in the past, he's led prayers. And he's had short Lord's table talks. But he brought his first full-length lesson about a month ago, and he did really well. So in that small group of brothers and sisters there, they're doing well. Frank Horn, another brother, he's willing to say prayers and have Bible readings. And sometimes Frank will have a reading, then he'll give a little commentary on that reading. And he did that one time when I was there, and he says he doesn't want to teach. And I said, well, Frank, you just taught just by reading and giving a little commentary on what he read. Isn't that what teaching is? It's giving a commentary on what you think the Bible says in that passage. And so I really am pleased with how the church there continues to grow. And I might mention, this is in desert, about 2,000 elevation, gets up to 120 degrees in the summertime where they live in Pima. But about 2.5 years ago, we had 12 inches of snow. Now that was amazing. They said that hadn't happened in 100 years there in Safford. Here's a picture of Dave and Janet, the very recent picture within the last, I think that picture is 5 months old. Dave and Janet are just wonderful people. They are the pillars in the church there. When they first moved down to the Safford area, they attended another Church of Christ, but they just washed their hands of the church. They weren't a good situation there. And so they asked me to consider, when I moved down to Arizona, if I would help them start the church. So that's really one of the main reasons we moved to Arizona, was to start that little church in Pima. There's a picture of what we call the Bible in the Park activity, where we go to the park and we just set up a little booth and we just try to invite people to come and talk to us about spiritual things. A large portion of southeastern Arizona were settled by Mormons. There's a lot of Mormon people there in that area. So we get some pretty lively discussions on that. There's a picture of my mountain. If you can see, Mount Graham is in the background there in Pima. So as I call it my mountain. It's about, I think Mount Graham is about 10,000 feet in elevation. The peaks that I showed you earlier, just north of Flagstaff, they're around 12,000 feet of elevation. We also work with the church. Oh, come on. There it is. The church at Williams. The church at Williams is located about a half hour west of Flagstaff. Now, when I first moved to Arizona, I sent a letter out to all the churches of Christ in the whole state, introducing myself. I told them I was trying to find small groups that were interested in some help, that maybe didn't have a preacher, that were interested in me coming and trying to be an encouragement to them. And I got a letter from the church at Williams. They responded to that letter and they said, hey, why don't you come out and visit us? Now, in the past, the church has been there probably for about 50 or 60 years, and they've had preachers come and go there. And I told them, my work was not to be the minister there, but I would be an encouragement to them. I would be willing to speak for them. I speak for them now 2 Sundays a month. We have a Bible study there with one of the families in the church at Williams. And from that Bible study, the Lord has really blessed the work there tremendously. Matter of fact, the church at Williams has really grown. When I started meeting with them, they had around 6 members. And now we have around 20 members on a regular basis. A few have come and gone, but for the most part, they're fairly stable. There's one brother there, his name is Lee Henson. Lee Henson is a mountain man, and I mean he is really a mountain man. As a matter of fact, Lee is the one standing in the back. He's got the big white beard. Lee and his wife have been married for about 150 years. Lee is a hunter. Lee's a moose hunter, and so he loves Governor Palin. He says he'll vote for anyone who has a gun. But he's really a mountain man. He's 80, been married for like 58 years. I think he's 87 years old. He still goes traipsing off in the woods, driving four-wheelers, hunting moose. I told him we'd like to get him off the four-wheelers because we need him. He's really the foundation of the church there. And he is really the only brother in the church there itself that actually does any teaching. Now, all he'll do is have a class. He doesn't feel comfortable with having an exhortation. So on the Sundays that I'm not there, they usually listen to tapes. But be that as it may, Lee does a great job with the Sunday morning class as he's teaching the New Testament scriptures, and he does a good job on the Wednesday night class as well. Dave asked me if I could have more of a teaching role there, but I told him no. I told him that I'm encouraging the brothers there take up responsibilities. And every now and then, one of the brothers will bring an exhortation, but most of the time, they listen to tapes or CDs that brethren send him. Now, this next is a picture of the weekly Bible study there at one of the families at Williams. Now, from this Bible study, we've had, over the last 6 years, we've probably had about a half a dozen baptisms and a number of people who have come back to the Lord. I think the church at Williams may be a good example of what happens to a church when it appears like it's dying in the community. The brethren, they get discouraged, their numbers fall off, and they just stop attending. And so all of a sudden, when we started working with the church there about it's been about 5 years now, maybe four and a half. A lot of these brethren who had left the church, they started coming back. And there's one particular family, Barney and Hattie Barnhart. Barney wanted to start this Bible study in her home. She asked me if I would start it. Her primary concern was getting her daughter back in the Lord. Jerry Ortloff had left the Lord a number of years ago, and so she agreed to start to come to the Bible study that we have. And so from that one desire for her daughter to come back to the Lord, this is how the church at Williams has grown. All the baptisms, all the examples of repentance and people coming back to the Lord, all came from that one desire of wanting her daughter to repent. And so the Lord has really blessed this church from that Bible study. We meet there every Tuesday night. Even now, there is one of the friends of Jerry Ortloff. Her friend Melinda Kelly has been starting coming to the study. She's been now for about 2 or 3 weeks. Her husband has a lot of serious problems. She's probably about my age, about 45 to 50 years old. But once again, we have another example of just someone being concerned for the soul of someone else. That's all it takes. Sometimes we think evangelism is about these great big campaigns and preaching from the pulpit and everything. No. Evangelism is about one soul being concerned about another. Whether it's a daughter or whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a friend or whatever. And I like to think about the example of the church at Williams. When I think about all the work there has grown because Hattie was concerned about her daughter. And so you never know what kind of seed can be planted in Melinda Kelly by the grace of God. And so through that Bible study, the Lord has blessed that work there. And then another church. Wait a minute, back. There we go. Church at White Rock. Now this is interesting. The church at White Rock is located near Los Alamos, New Mexico. Does anyone know anything about Los Alamos? It's where much of the research for the first atomic bombs took place. Los Alamos is a very small scientific community. They have a Church of Christ that meets at White Rock, which is about 10 miles east of Los Alamos. This church does not have a minister. They don't want a minister. They don't need a minister, and they know that. Imagine a group around 30 to 35. Most of the men in this church have doctorate degrees in some kind of science because they work at the lab. They are engineers, they do this and they do that. Some of the sisters work at the lab as well. What's really interesting about this church, they've had problems with preachers and elders in the past. This is why they meet on their own. But they asked me to come visit them, and I've been able to develop a relationship with them over the last few years. They're a very highly educated group. Probably the median education level in this church would be a bachelor's degree. They have several master's and doctorate degrees. Very intelligent men who are trained to give public speaking, to teach. Well, these men, they teach themselves. And so since I've been going back there, they're sort of amazed that I'm not trying to tell them what to do, that I'm just trying to be an encouragement to them. Well, over the years, we've developed a pretty good relationship. Now, recently, I decided, I wasn't sure, prior to my last visit there, which was in June, I wasn't sure what good I was doing there. So I thought it was going to be my last time. And so I told them that I wouldn't be coming back. But they said, no, they asked me to keep coming back. They want me to come back there 4 times a year, which I can't. There's just no way. But I'm trying to make it 2 times a year. But it's really encouraging to go there. These are brothers and sisters here that like what they're doing. They like the fact that I'm not going there trying to force them or trying to get them to change their ways. I'm encouraging them as they edify themselves because I believe that is right and it's proper. And I think they respect that. So I've developed a pretty good relationship with them over the years. And it's about 6 hours from Flagstaff. But I only go there a couple of times a year. And there's a brother. Anybody recognize Wade Stanley? Wade has been out to the Grand Canyon there with us. He's worked with me several times. Wade and Lewis are a big help. Some of you know that Doug and Jill Twaddell were out there for about 3 years, and they moved back to central Kansas. And this is a very busy work, and Wade and Lewis each come out at least once a year and are big encouragement to me as they come out. They go with me to the Bible studies. I get them working with the church. They both have a pretty good relationship with the various churches and brothers and sisters there, so I really appreciate their faith and them wanting to come out. But then finally, I want to thank you for your faith. It takes a lot of faith to support a work that you yourself do not receive the direct benefit from. There's a lot of churches that won't do that, but I appreciate the fact that you do support me. And as a result of that, I think about Philippians 4:15-17. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent and once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. All the good that comes from that work, and not only that work, but all the other work that you support, whether locally or abroad, is added to your account here, to the faith of the brothers and sisters here at Pleasant Hill. And I thank you very much for that. Now, we've got just a couple of minutes. Does anyone have any questions or thoughts? Around 15, but we're losing another family, and we may be losing another one. So counting this family that just is leaving this week, we've got about 12 now.
What was it when you went there?
It was about 15 to 20, not much bigger than that. But see, we've had a lot of families move in. One family, the Bowles family, they had three daughters. They came to us from the other Church of Christ about 2 years ago. But they only stayed another year, and they moved to North Dakota. Why would someone move to North Dakota? But that has really hurt the work there, is people moving in and out. It just doesn't have... Now, I was just joking. Brother Bowles had his parents who lived there, and he wanted to move back to his parents. It doesn't have an industrial base. You either are employed through the school, or you're employed through tourism, which pays a little more than minimum wage. They do have one company called Gore-Tex there. They hire a number of people, but that's really about it. They don't do any mining there anymore. They don't do any timbering, any lumbering. So it's really taken a lot of the industrial base away from the town. People move there because they want to go to school there and because they like the area. A lot of people build second houses there from Phoenix to get away from the heat. So it's become a recreational area. But as I said, all the works I've been involved in Arizona and New Mexico have prospered except for the church here. They're just struggling. And I'm not sure what the future is going to be, because the one family, the other brother there that teaches there besides me, him and his wife are wanting to move back to Florida. And he just hasn't done that yet because he knows what he'll leave the church with. Now, many of the brethren there would drive to Williams if we did that. And Williams would benefit from that. But the main problem, if we have to close the doors of the church there, would be the college kids. They're not going to drive to Williams. And I would just hate to leave them out in the lurch. But right now, the church at Flagstaff is having struggles because there's no men there to participate. Just the one, and he's wanting to move, and then I can only be there one Sunday a month.
What was the reason for not wanting to help teach more at Williams and just time on your part?
Because I don't want them to depend on me to bring all their lessons. And because I'm working with all the other churches, I can't go to Williams more than two Sundays a month anyway with my schedule. Because I'm a university in Union Hills and Los Alamos. And we do have the Bible study every Tuesday night. But I'm trying to urge the brothers there to prepare. They have brothers who can bring exhortations if they will, but they're just not used to. And I don't want to be a crutch for them. And except for the church at Union Hills, when I'm not with these churches, because of their size, they are lacking. That's why we're there. We're there to help them. Because they need me there. I'm really thankful. It's very busy. I'm very busy, but I like being busy. I like it that way. Did that answer your question? Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Brother Lowell?
So do you have evangelistic oversight over all these congregations other than Union Hills and maybe the one in New Mexico then? It didn't sound like you had evangelistic oversight at the one in New Mexico.
No, not at New Mexico. No, I haven't asked him about that. They've had problems with leaders in the past, so I've had to be very careful with them. But I do have the authority there with Flagstaff and Williams and Pima. Because Union Hills has their own elders. So. Anything else? Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your faith and your support, and I'm glad I could be here for you this weekend. Thank you.